We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bradfo and Steve! Bradfo and Steve! Bradfo and Steve!
It's time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ball, point, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralta of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit a man with a ball, then he may run to the pillow.
With Bradfo and Peralt on EEI.
Step up to the mic, dude. Do what you
ladies and gentlemen. What you have here is brought to you.
All right, you know, I can see you walking in and seeing Adrian Peterson with a huge dip in his mouth. Yeah, for this playing.
Yeah.
Paints a picture.
No DJ.
What was that? Let me take a screenshot of that.
That's my rat face right there. My goodness. My DJ.
It's like, look at you, constipated.
I probably look like that. My rat face, I look like I'm in pain.
Are you a dancer?
I bop, yeah. I was at Baseball Tavern. I would bop around a little bit. Right. I would definitely, yeah.
That's close quarters, too.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's the thing. Downstairs, you have a little more room to move sometimes. But, yeah, that album's incredible. I mean, the Carter 3, I know you know that the Carter 3 is Lil Wayne's best album of all time.
I met Lil Wayne.
What? When was that?
It was when he was brought.
I'm very jealous now.
When he was brought into the Red Sox clubhouse.
Yeah, him and Poppy took a hilarious photo.
Bizarrely, like, Cody Ross was very, like, tight with him.
I could see that. I don't know why. Cody seemed like a very interesting individual. Like,
oh,
he would have a lot of stories.
Yeah. He came. So I posted a picture on Twitter a little while ago. By the way, this is the Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralt. And I dug this picture up. I forget how Cody's name came up, but I have this picture. He came out into the dugout with his 5-year-old's baseball pants on. Which you can imagine what that looked like.
That must have been interesting.
And yeah. I said, yeah. And he's like, evidently he won a lot of money by doing it. So anything for $10.
Yeah. No, Lil Wayne, a big Red Sox fan.
Yeah, big Red Sox
big
fan.
Big Sox fan. And he actually is. That's one thing during the 2018 run when you notice a lot of, quote unquote, big Red Sox fans saw Ben Affleck and Matt Damon there at the clincher. It's like, tell me what the Red Sox bullpen looks like. I bet you can't. But Lil Wayne was at that
game. I want to say, Jay,
what's up?
No, who was a Fire Festival guy? Not Jay-Z.
Oh, Ja Rule.
Ja Rule. So I want to say Ja Rule. So the reason that Ja Rule was at the David Ortiz Celebrity Golf Tournament that went
That sounds
to.
About right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was, it was very bizarre moment. I'm sitting there. There was no other media there this time I went. And I'm sitting at the bar outside. And it was like literally like 10 feet away from me with Ja Rule, Warren Sapp,
What a crew.
I've only mentioned two of them, but Johnny Damon was there.
Why can't I picture you with those first two?
Bradfo and Warren Sapp
and
together.
You, Barry Larkin.
And Ja Rule.
It was a wild scene. I did not
bet get... you it looks like an album cover.
I'm sure it does get involved in the wild scene.
I just remember Cardi B was posting a lot of videos during the Red
She's
Sox
She's a Red Sox one. Fan?
This is what I'm getting at. It's like, come on, Cardi B. What are you talking about?
You know how to test?
Well, it's because she grew up you know, following David Ortiz, whatever. You saw a couple highlights of David Ortiz. You're not a Red Sox
if
fan.
If you come in the live BP baseball show,
yeah, Cardi B's going to come on.
We will proclaim you a Red Sox fan.
If you know what you're talking about.
All right. So a big news, which a couple guys from Red Sox past were all fired up about, Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz, about Albert Pujols getting basically released. He was DFA. No one's going to pick him up. He got released. So that opened up a huge conversation. Obviously, the first thing it did, like Albert Pujols, he was so good, and look at what he did, and first ballot Hall of Famer. But there was also the other element of it, which is where Pedro and Ortiz got involved, which was anger. Like, how do you do this? How do you do this to this guy who meant so much? And as we point out, you know, this contract, we all know the contract was brutal. Actually, you know how many playoff games he played in?
What?
With the Angels?
Two?
Three.
Three, okay.
Three.
Yeah.
And
they got swept, right? That was
by the Royals.
Yeah.
So, and the other, before we get more into it, the other bizarre part of this is that he has 10 more years with the Angels. Do you know about this?
Yeah, so what is, I was going back and forth with some guy. What is that?
It's a personal service contract, which is, this is sort of like the Bobby Bonilla thing.
Yeah.
And so when he signs the deal with the Angels, they say, you have this 10-year deal, and then you have the option to have this other 10-year deal that is $10 million. So he would get, if he chooses to do it, he can be personal services was like, you know, hey, nice to meet you every month to the fans or whatever. It's appearances and whatever it is. But yeah, it's $1 million a year.
Yeah.
So I was going back and forth to this guy in St. Louis who said, oh, he's not going to do that. I'm like, why not? Are you kidding me? I know that they released him, but it's $10 million.
Yeah, I don't know why he. Well,
for doing
nothing. I mean, what was his contract though?
But still, like, it's $1 million for doing nothing.
No, I know. And
it was like $250 plus.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Manny still gets $2 million a year for the next like 5 years from the Red Sox.
Yeah, that was part of his deal, though.
Yeah, I know. I know those are separate things. Like, I understand Pujols has to quote unquote earn that $1 million a year. The whole Albert Pujols situation is very interesting because I think I heard it first. They just like mentioned it on a broadcast. And I was like, wait, what? They released Pujols, but for what reason exactly? Like, I understand he's hitting 198. He had five homers, but which surprised me. I didn't know he had five homers. This dude's on pace for 33 home runs this season. Why are you getting rid of him? But if you're the Angels, who are 14-17 in last place in the National League West, which I guess this is part of their reasoning, is that they're trying to actually compete. So this is something that's going to free up Ohtani and the whole thing. Why wouldn't you have done this in the offseason? Why wouldn't you have been like, we're going to eat this money. We're trying to actually really make a run this year. Hopefully Ohtani's healthy. Mike Trout is still in his prime, which is going to last forever. Let's actually try to make a run here and get a playoff spot. And obviously Albert Pujols at 41 years old is not necessarily going to be a part of that equation.
It's the same reason why the Detroit Tigers thought Miguel Cabrera could hit third. Because you're thinking, oh, well, he wasn't great last year, but that was a couple months. And maybe, you know, this whole offseason of working out, he'll be a little bit better. His OPS will be back into the mid-700s and so forth and so on. So they're hoping for the best. But it's only getting worse.
Yeah, and, I mean, which is obvious. They see it more than we do in Anaheim. So, like, they're around Pujols all the time. Only good things, by the way, have been said by his teammates, by other people around baseball. And then you have Dave Ortiz and Pedro Martinez chiming in, and they were none too happy.
No, well, because they were like, this isn't the way it's supposed to end.
Which is, I agree with them.
Yeah.
For Albert Pujols, especially in baseball, I'm trying to think of the last example of a guy. I guess A-Rod's a decent example.
Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah, Hanley Ramirez, that got a long walk-off tour. No, but a guy that's an all-timer. Albert Pujols, since he came in the game in 01, you can make the argument, is the best player in baseball. And this is not how that should end. So, well, I totally agree with them from that
first
regard.
Typically you would bench them. You would like just, you know, hey, take some time off, get your swing right.
But they'd still get the farewell stuff.
Oh, sure. No, I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah.
And that's why these guys are so pissed off about it. I get it. Like I totally understand it. And by the way, this is every player's fear. This is what they like. Ortiz was very lucky. Or not lucky, but very fortunate that he
helped his own cause.
Right,
that he had the highest OPS in baseball his last year.
Yeah, but when you're sitting there in 2010 and you're getting pinch hit for, and you can't get hitting lefties, like, it's going through your mind, how is this going to pan out? And I don't want to go from team to team to team. I don't want to get released. All of this. And And so every player is fearful of this. And I think that's where this comes from. I mean, there's obviously the anger of how all the things that you said, Steve, which is how dare you do this to this guy, but also the, oh, man, this stinks.
Well, David Ortiz in his post, I do not agree on the move that just happened. That was devastating for fans and player. I know this is a business, but I was expecting someone like you to walk away like you deserve. Pedro Martinez, I know the glory is of God, not of man. That's why I'm not surprised about the shameful way at Angels. That's what I love with Pedro there. He's like, I am going to tag you in this post. The shameful way at Angels treated you and your legacy.
Well, here's and this, I'm not saying that Pedroia was Pujols, but like the Red Sox could have easily done this with Pedroia. Easily.
I don't think that was ever going to happen considering the situation of the injury.
No, but what I'm saying is that they could. No, but it was clear he wasn't coming back, but they could have said, okay, you know what? We're moving on from you. And moving on by taking you off the 40-man roster. Like, that's what we're doing. We're taking you off the 40-man roster because we need a spot. But they didn't do that. They waited for him to say, hey, you know what? You can retire. And I don't know. Maybe Pujols, and I haven't read anything about this, whether or not Pujols has said, I'm retiring or I'm not retiring.
He hasn't said anything of that.
I would hope that they would give him that opportunity.
Yeah, that's the thing that bugs me. And I know with the A-Rod situation, that was kind of a weird one, too, where it was a mutually agreed upon thing that his like last week was coming up. And I remember being at that game at Fenway, and it was like, we were all like honored that we got to boo A-Rod one more time. And it was this weird thing where you've watched this guy your whole life, and it hits you pretty quickly sometimes, even though there's a steady decline, and there has been with Pujols, there has been with Miggy, there was with A-Rod. It feels weird when you're at the end, not just for the player, but for the fans, because that's what I don't like about this. Albert Pujols is an all-time person. I haven't heard one person or teammate ever say a bad thing about Albert Pujols, and he's one of the greatest hitters in the history of baseball, which you can't normally just say without a little bit of feedback from someone. You can easily say about Pujols, one of the best hitters in the history of the game. And this is, I agree with Pedro and Poppy. This is not how it's supposed
to
end.
No, of course not.
It feels awkward.
You know why it feels awkward? Because it never happens. It never happens this way.
To your point, they're always going to either get benched or kind of shoved into the end of the roster. And it's like, you still get your moments. And then when you're on the road, you don't even have to be in the game. You still get that exchange with the star player on the other team. Mm. And they give you, you know, a number from the scoreboard or a cowboy hat. And you're on your way. That's what Albert Pujols deserves. Now, I understand part of what baseball, where baseball's at right now in terms of we're still on the tail end of a pandemic. The crowds are still not at mass, you know, capacity, unless you're in Texas. So I get it from that regard. That's a little bit different doing the send-off thing when stadiums are at like 20%, you know, max capacity. I get that. But as we're going to go along here into the summer, we're getting closer and closer to these parks being filled up. August and September would have been great if Albert Pujols had his last farewell to these. And who knows what happens here? La Russa said that the White Sox aren't going to sign him. A lot of people mentioned the White Sox. The Cardinals thing is interesting in terms of if they did like a week farewell or whatever.
Well, yes. And you know who also evidently in the mix, according to the Greg Hill show? The Boston Red Sox.
According to the
and I thought that
you had me for a second.
I thought one of the greatest takes on this came from one Jermaine Alexander Wiggins.
I mean, I guess is he a guy you sign because he's a veteran leadership guy, and
he said does he have five homers? I think he has five homers this year.
I almost see him in the role that I can't remember, Ken, you probably would know it a little bit better, is when they went out and they got like Shane Victorino back in 2013, where you're getting a veteran, and then who knows, maybe he hits like lightning in a bottle. Wasn't Shane Victorino big in that postseason run for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Oh, God bless him. God bless his soul.
You know when you're, and this will happen to me sometimes too, where you're about to say, you have a point, and it just leaves your brain, so you have to fill it in with
But it never left his brain.
No, I understand that
it's
he
like
didn't
lightning
have...
lightning in a bottle.
It's a lightning in a bottle. I understand that the good point didn't leave the brain. That was, to him, the good point. Love Wiggy, but that... Shane Victorino, when he signed with the Red Sox, was, I believe, 31 years old when he signed the deal.
3 years, $39 million.
Yeah, he hit .294, had 15 homers, 61 RBI.
Well, no, you don't even have to do that.
I'm just saying, that's what, like, Shane Victorino mattered to the 2013 Red Sox. Also, a decade younger than Albert Pujols.
And also, wasn't he semi-good in the playoffs?
Like,
didn't he do something?
It's like just the grand slam to win the ALCS. That was it.
He went above it. If you want to do Ellis Burks in 2004 or something.
Ellis Burks is actually a good comparison. Where it's like,
well, sure.
I'm just saying, last year doesn't have much left in the tank. Might have a couple of moments, but no, we joked on Section 10, like, oh, with the Red Sox sign up for Pujols. They're obviously, I mean, come on, that's not even a discussion.
I almost see him in the role that I can't remember.
Oh God! I was sitting outside.
It was kind of like who was it? David Ortiz.
It was almost like he was spinning the wheel of players that he remembered.
I honestly think that was one of those.
It was kind of like
you know when you have conversations with people about a past Red Sox team, and you know your brain has a billion stats and little notes on that team. This is normally at like a family cookout. Like, oh, that was the team that had the three little birds guy, isn't it? The Victorino, right? Victorino and Albert Pujols couldn't have less to do with each other in this situation. But I do love it, though. I do love it because he said it with a lot of confidence.
Oh, wasn't Shane Victorino big in that postseason run for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
But wait. Let's play that. Wait a second. Wait, Ken, that's my problem.
Ken needs to step in
Ken,
here.
Ken, like, what are you? Yep. Very good point, Wiggy. Play the end of that again, Dylan.
Wasn't Shane Victorino big in that postseason run for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what are you doing? What are you doing? Reeling
in. There's guilt by association.
The former author of the Red Sox Farm Report. Oh,
there's guilt by yut. That's a lot of being guilty by just throwing in a yut. That was a big one there. He was guilty by yut.
Your baseball
Sox. Yeah, well, he played a lot for them that year.
What is going on? No, like, what is happening? Just say it. Say, Wiggy, what are you talking about?
Also, on a show, let's be honest, on a show where they have no issue calling each other out.
No.
So it's not like it's a show where everyone's just rubbing each other's backs. Like, that was easy. That was
here's a little behind the scenes of my guess for that situation.
Yes.
I think they just want to move on. They wanted to put that in a rear view. They wanted to put the Albert Pujols conversation in the rear view mirror as fast as possible.
I want to talk a little bit more. We got to get to Lenny. Lenny's been waiting for a while.
Lenny in Long Island. Thanks for hanging
on, Lenny.
Yeah, there you go. All right. You won't regret putting me on.
No, we never do.
I won't regret. By the way, the tremendous natural energy on this program.
Appreciate that.
It's an easy listen. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. Do you think Albert Pujols would rather be on the Angels of Los Angeles or wherever they are with Joey Adell and Brandon Marsh coming up, two outstanding youngsters, or do you think he'd rather be playing first base on Cincinnati with Joey Votto out for about a year? I think he'd rather be playing at first base at Cincinnati than sitting on the bench with Joey Adell and Brandon Marsh. And my final question, and by the way, the player that you miss, 1972, Willie Mays, was sent from the San Francisco Giants to the New York Mets. And to me, that was...
Well, Lenny, like, that's the image. And before we go on, like, that's the image. Whenever anyone cites a player just completely losing it, the image of Willie Mays dropping fly balls in center field.
Absolutely.
And that's the one, like, anybody over the age of, let's say, 40 defaults to.
Yeah, that's for sure. So you think so? Votto's going to be out for about a year. Last thing, if the Washington Nationals drop out of the pennant race, do you think they'll trade Max Scherzer, who's been a staple out there in Washington, and he'll be a Hall of Famer for sure? You think they'll trade him? And by the way, here's the other thing. Last thing, if you grew a mustache ever. Have you ever gone over to somebody and have somebody say to you, when you shaved your mustache, did anybody ever say, did you shave your mustache? Thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right, Lenny, call back any time.
Great
show. Well, Steve, go
Lenny,
ahead.
Thanks
you can
for
answer
call.
That last one. I've never really, I don't even consider this, I don't even know what this is.
It's like lightning in a bottle.
Lightning in a bottle. Yes, that definitely happened. But it's, so is this like code for something else? Like, what are we even talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't.
The mustache. He was talking about Garrett Richards, the mustache conversation.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true. The Garrett Richards one. That is very true. But yeah, the Scherzer thing, who knows what the Nationals, maybe they do. Scherzer, I believe, was dealing today, 10 Ks.
Well, the answer is yes, he would trade him.
No, I know. I'm just saying that maybe they're not terrible, the Nationals.
Well, nobody. That's the thing. There's very few terrible teams.
I don't. That's what I don't want to talk. A lot of people are like, oh, what do you think they're going to do with the deadline? This team, that team, the other team. Way too early for that. But what was the other main point? Oh, Pujols at first. So I know Votto was out for a month. Is he out for the year? Did I miss that? I know he fractured. I believe he got hit by a pitch and he was going to be out for a month. I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's out for the year. But here's the thing: is that as much as you might need a first baseman, it's like, okay, well, what are you getting in Albert Pujols?
Do you think that Pedro and Poppy were that aggressive in their posts because they know no other team is going to pick up Pujols?
No, I
right
think
now?
They were that aggressive because, as we said before, this just doesn't happen to guys. First of all, they're buddies with them.
Oh, of course. They're DR guys. I get it. But, like, I think there's Pedro Martinez and David Ortiz are two of the smartest baseball people, baseball IQ people that I've watched growing up. They know the game very well. They still talk to a lot of players, which, as you get older, at least it seems from the players that get older, they feel like they lose some of that connection with the guys that are actually playing in the game. All these players want to talk to Pedro and Poppy, so they have a good feel for the pulse of a lot of these teams. I would not be surprised at all if they also know who's gonna sign. If they understand, like, no, that is it, because you guys were the ones that had to give them the farewell tour. Especially for a 10-year deal. That's why I feel like this is just, like, a little weird.
That story is yet to be told.
I'm sure it hasn't. Yeah, but I just
wanted to say that.
No, I know. That was very deep for the situation.
Story is yet to be. We got to take a break. Yeah. After the break, though, we haven't got through our whole list of things before the Red Sox pregame show.
A lot of stuff.
So we haven't talked about Franchi, your guy, best leadoff hitter in the game. We haven't talked about, what else have we been talking
power
about?
Pujols. Rankings of the power rankings of the prospects.
Oh, yeah,
which need to do well.
I think it's a good thing, right?
I just have a top three.
All I want is top three. I mean, what I'm talking about, and I'm not necessarily you need to do well to help this year's team, but if you don't do well this year, you're going in the wrong direction as an organization.
And if you don't do well, public perception wise, you're going to get blasted.
By the way, and this guy isn't on my top three, but Jay Groom would be a perfect example of this.
I forget he exists every month.
And you know what? He didn't do very well his first time out, but yeah, that's just one time out. All right, we get a trend.
Now back on the Live BP Baseball Show with Bradfo and Steve on WEEI.
I say he's so sweet, I wanna lick the rapper. So I let her lick the rapper. She say I'm like a lollipop.
This is the jam right here. Let me tell you.
Am I ruining it?
Absolutely.
This is a lollipop song?
Lollipop was the most popular song when I was a senior in high school, back when. This song is an all-timer.
Everyone on the floor, lollipop's coming on!
I have to agree. This song was, when it came out, was like the song of its time.
It absolutely dominated the Carter 3.
It was the song of its time.
The Carter 3 came out. That was my favorite summer of all time. Because after you graduate high school, everyone's kind of playing on like borrowed. You have like a couple months where you can just hang out, do whatever you want. Because it's like, we're going to college. This is like, we graduated from, you know, going to school. School's the worst thing ever. And this album came out at the perfect time. It was that sweet spot right there, the summer of 08. I'm telling you, it was great.
That was the lollipop song.
Yeah, lollipop.
And the Red Sox had a good team, by the way.
Oh, I'm telling you. Red Sox were good. The Patriots were undefeated. The Celtics won the championship. Great time to be alive.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, speaking of a good time to be alive, this is the Live BP Baseball Show. We're going to be with you up until 6 o'clock. Then we'll be taking over. It's a takeover. Live BP show taking over the pregame show, Shaw's and Star Market. Red Sox Radio Network, obviously the only place where you have Alex Cora interview every single day. And today is no exception, along with we'll be checking in Will Fleming at Fenway Park, who's doing the game that is being played at Camden Yards.
So real quick, was there a Ron Renicki interview before every game last year?
There sure was.
There was. The look in your face was exactly the
right. There was.
He's
a very nice human being,
yes.
Ron.
Yes. Oh, he's a nice guy. Yeah, I'm glad that Cora is who he is. I listen very closely when Alex Cora is speaking. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
He says stuff that matters.
Although he does default a lot, and we notice this because we have to listen to him.
He defends these guys a lot.
Well, no, he also tells the same stories a lot. Like, you know, it's
true.
Like, for instance, the Dahlback thing, right?
Yeah.
This, which I wrote about, and I'm guilty of. The Pedroia thing.
Yeah.
Like, obviously. Like, citing, and because also he was in the middle of it, he was the guy who got Pedroia to May 5th in 2007.
Yeah.
So we've heard
that's,
that.
Well, that see, there's another that's another layer that matters because Cora was right in the middle of all
it. Was, and so I wrote that. I was just hanging out yesterday. I'm like, you know, I bet the plate appearances for Pedroia when he turned things around, which was May 5th, and Bobby Dahlbeck almost line up exactly. And
are
sure
you,
enough.
Are you trying to say you thought it so you wrote it?
I thought it, so I wrote. No, that wasn't. No, the Xander Bogaerts we're going to get to in a second. That's yes. what I thought. This was more of like I'm a genius because
you nailed
cause
it.
Because the plate appearances lined up, but they did.
I thought it, and I nailed
they
it.
They did. So I text Cora, and I said, I don't know if you know this, but the plate appearances line up. And I didn't get a text back. But sure enough.
Cora sees everything, by the way. He doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. But so it's – but he actually had already put – Dahlbeck in touch with Pedroia.
Yeah.
Dahlbeck talked to Pedroia.
Which is a very smart move.
Well,
that's
of course.
That's the thing with Alex Cora that we always try to think that we know what we're talking about with the manager's impact on a team. And I've been at fault at this before as well, where it's like, oh, well, the 2013 Red Sox, it was just because of Boston Strong. So Farrell doesn't deserve any credit because he stinks. And then 2018, it's because Cora changed it. So that's why they won the World Series. There's so much little stuff that goes on. And I'm just glad, as a you know, as a fan of the Sox, to know that that stuff's going on as well. Putting Dahlbeck in touch with Pedroia, having him talk about the struggles he's been through. I don't love when it then like part of me wants that to be behind closed doors
why?
Instead of like that thing comes out in the media.
Well, Cora didn't mention the Pedroia thing. Cora wasn't the one who said, "Yeah, I had Bobby get in touch with Pedroia." Well, like they went through the post game yesterday, and it was Dahlbeck, and it was the very last question that was asked about the Pedroia analogy.
Yeah, and he mentioned
it. And he revealed it.
Let me rephrase that. I feel like from Bobby Dahlbeck's perspective, soft-spoken guy, he obviously understands he's struggling, has a homer last night, a couple of hits last night, looked good. Bobby understands that he's going through it right now, so part of me just wants like some of that stuff that he's trying to do to get out of the slump to just be on his own time, not have to be like, oh, so we heard you talk to this, we heard you did that, we heard you did the other thing. I think if Bobby had it his way, he would try to get out of this by on his own, which is probably not the right way to do it. So I'm glad that Alex Cora is putting him in touch with
he also makes note, Bobby Dahlbeck, after the game last night, made note of that it wasn't only Pedroia he talked to. He talked to former hitting coaches, and this is what happens. Everyone wants to help, right?
Yeah.
And so what you're talking about, that scenario, isn't really an option because everyone's going to try to figure it out. Now, what will be interesting is why I say the plate appearance. It would be a great story. There's no question about it, where you have these two guys who the plate appearances line up almost perfectly heading into early May. They're both slumping. They're both highly touted guys. And then, boom, they take off. And I'm not saying Bobby Dahlbeck's going to win Rookie of the Year, but I can absolutely see this as a scenario that happens.
And this is something where we were talking about the bottom of the lineup and have been for a couple of weeks now.
This week in the bottom of the lineup,
yes. This week in the bottom of the lineup. It is at the end of our show every single Saturday. no, but I honestly anticipate Bobby to heat up a little bit here, and I kind of put that heat up in quotes because it's like I think it's going to be in little spurts. I don't think it's naturally going to be like he's hitting 330 now because he still has looked overmatched at the plate. He's looked a little lost. Franchi, I have no hope in the world with Franchi Cordero. I think a lot of people are flipping out after one game where he didn't even think he was going to play. Lou Maloney made a great point on these airwaves during the game when Franchi got in where – he thought, well, this is going to kind of reset him where it's like, oh, I'm playing. I don't have time to think about where I am in the lineup. I don't have time to think, oh, my God, am I going to screw up again tonight? And all of a sudden he goes 3-for-5. I think that's actually a real thing. It's something I hadn't really thought about before. But if anything, I think it actually helped
him
a lot.
I'm telling you, and I'm only half kidding, I would put him back at leadoff.
That's literally the last thing I would do.
I don't care.
if you want to do that, like start someone else.
No, I'm talking about just for like a game or whatever.
Okay.
Just like it's just as a goof.
I'm sure Alex wants to throw a goof
well,
in there.
Okay, you put Michael Chavis there today.
That feels like a goof.
There you go. All right, we got to take a break. And we have one more segment before the pregame show. I do want to use that segment to talk about Xander Bogaerts.
Yes.
It's Xander Bogaerts week, 1,000th career game, regular season game. So he is the Mike Trout of shortstop. I will expand on that right after this.
Time now for the live BP Baseball Show.
Ball, point, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
What? What?
I'm telling you, when we come back with these Lollipop. Incredible tunes, I need Bradfo to not ruin them.
Sorry.
My goodness.
This is just the instrumental,
there you go. Yeah.
I'm telling you, you got a bop. It's a bop song.
Okay. All right.
We could not be more different in terms of music.
I like
What's your favorite music?
Pearl Jam.
Okay, exactly. So, yeah, we're a lot different.
This is actually on the opposite end of the color wheel than Pearl Jam.
Exactly.
What does this mean?
A bop and a half.
Oh, okay.
That's what this is.
All right. All right. Well, that's what makes the show so great, diversity. 617. Actually, I'm not even going to give the phone number because this is the last segment before the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network pregame show, which Live BP baseball show is taking over. Once again, I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Perrault of Section 10 and Bleacher Report. And we have one more segment before the aforementioned pregame show. And what I want to use it for, it was a tribute, an homage to Xander Bogaerts, who played in his 1,000th career regular season game. And, you know, after that game, so that game was Thursday, the day game.
Yes, right, correct? It was the game they snuck out a W.
He had a good game in a lot of ways. And a lot of people writing about Xander Bogaerts. But I'm sitting there thinking, it was two quotes. It was one, basically, A.J. Hinch, the Detroit manager, saying after the game, calling it substance over style. And I'm like, boom. You might not like A.J. Hinch for a lot of things, but he nailed that. And also, Xander Bogaerts saying this game, the thing that I hate, this game is not easy. And it's only easy for one person, and that's probably Mike Trout. And I'm kind of thinking, okay, Mike Trout, is we can't even introduce the MVP conversation with Xander because Mike Trout's going to win it. I mean, right now he's not even close.
If he doesn't get hurt, yeah, we'll see. I mean, Mike Trout, that's the thing. You look at a lot of like the MLB stats in terms of who's leading the league, and over the last whatever, what is it, 7, 8, 9, how many, he's been in the league for a decade, Trout, around there?
Yeah.
You basically just don't look at, you factor him out. You take him out of the equation and you're like, all right, where does this Red Sox player rank among the non-Mike Trout guys?
He played in 114 games one year, one of the years I had the MVP vote, and he finished like fourth, which I had a huge problem with, but that's a conversation for another day. My point with Bogaerts is that he has ascended to a place at his position, which is, by the way, is the best shortstop in baseball right now. So let's start there. You go through all the stats. He leads all the shortstops in all of them. And then you factor in the substance over style. And isn't that Mike Trout? Isn't that what we're
absolutely
talking about with Mike Trout?
That's the story of his career. That anytime, and this is the biggest comparison between Mike Trout and Xander Bogaerts for me, is their dominance on the field and, I would say, the need for everyone to say, why aren't we talking more about this guy?
Yes, thank you.
But in doing that, in saying, why aren't we talking more about this guy, we're now talking about this guy. So it goes both ways for me because I understand Xander Bogaerts is the unofficial captain of the Red Sox. He leads Major League Baseball in terms of shortstops and OPS, slugging, OBP, average hits. I know a lot of those stats overlap, but he obviously is the best shortstop, and at least for my money, in the game right now. I understand Tatis is flashier. I understand Trevor Story hits a lot of home runs in Coors Field. Xander Bogaerts is the most complete shortstop I think you have in the game right now. And if you're going to make the comparison to Mike Trout, that's it right there. He's the most complete player. That is, what's the exact line you said? All substance?
Yeah, he's substance over style.
Over style.
Yeah.
Even though Xander has a little style, though.
Yeah,
he's got a little style to him.
But I think that the other part about it is that Mike Trout, as you pointed out, when he got into Major League Baseball, he was the best player.
Yeah.
And he's been the best player, boom, out of the game.
It wasn't like he had like a 3-year growth period.
No,
and
Xander Bogaerts has. And it's been more than 3 years. And he said that, you know, like the fact that, you know, he came up in 2013. 2014 was a little rough. People didn't even think he was going to be a shortstop. And then you get better and you get better and you get better. And the next thing you know, the stat that everyone has been talking about, that since the beginning of 2019, you know, you have a better OPS than Mookie Betts. And by the way, there's only one qualified player who has a better OPS than you. That's Freddie Freeman. So one player in baseball.
NL MVP, yeah.
Yeah, so the guy that we're talking about is a better player than people realize. And then you factor in exactly what you're talking about with the face of the franchise. You know, I tried to throw out he's the face of Boston sports, and people are like, what? Like, what?
I think Tatum is just because, you know, the NBA is just kind of taken over from a national standpoint. But Xander Bogaerts is right there. I mean, to be able to say a guy is the quote unquote captain of the Red Sox and not get a lot of like brushback, that's when you know that he's good. I mean, we say that frequently.
All right, well, here's a question for you, C. Peralt.
Yes.
If Mookie Betts was still here, would Xander Bogaerts be perceived as a captain of the Red Sox?
No. No, he would not.
But he should be.
He should be, but I think that's when it becomes a discussion of like, wait, isn't it Mookie? But like right now, I think it's very clearly Xander Bogaerts.
If you talk about, and this is where I have a problem with captains in baseball across the board, because...
Does anybody have the C right now?
No, maybe because Yachty? It's stupid. It's dumb. Yeah. It doesn't...
Why is it dumb, though? I don't have an issue
with
it.
I can tell you why it's dumb.
What do you got?
Let me tell you why
the C thing
Boy,
is stupid.
Boy, I have to squeeze this in. Maybe we should save this for Clubhouse Insider.
What do you got?
But because baseball is not made for a captain. You have
in
a baseball clubhouse, the leaders of a team, you have the different factions. So in other words, you have the pitchers, you have the relief pitchers, you have the hitters, you have the bench players. And it's very, very rare where you have one voice. Like Jason Veritek was not that one voice. He wasn't. He wasn't even close.
Isn't that the funny part that he got to see when he probably wasn't talking that much?
No, because it was a joke. I mean, no, this isn't any offense to him. But no, he was a leader on the team.
He was a lead by example guy.
He was a leader, but he wasn't the leader. You had Mike Lowell, who was bilingual. You have even Cora, who was bilingual. You have a pitching staff who, you know, you had Beckett, you had Lester, you had, you know, you have other guys like Mike Timlin. So in a baseball clubhouse, you need it from all corners. Now, every once in a while, the closest you're going to come is actually David Ortiz. Because he was
everyone
the guy.
Everyone knows he's the guy.
But at the end of the day, everything had to be passed through him. But that's such a rarity in baseball.
And it's becoming more rare. But what's the biggest difference for you between baseball and hockey in terms of voices in the clubhouse, voices in the locker room? And hockey, you have a mandatory captain in hockey.
Yeah, but I don't think first of all, you're not dividing up the responsibilities of the team nearly as much as baseball. Yes, you have a goalie. But then you have the goalie and everybody else. And I know this defenseman you're all on the ice together. You're whirling around. And
I guess I have no issue with it when it's understood that it's not like, oh, the only guy we're going to look up to is the guy with the C on the jersey. I think people understand.
Well, you know the Brad Stevens thing on this, right?
What?
He says he doesn't name captains, and he's done extensive research on it.
No, I'm sure, and this can go all the way back to Little League in terms of, like, giving out some little, you know, you're better than everybody else trophy. Like, I understand the mental state of all of that where it's like people don't want to be perceived as second in line, especially the egos of some of these professional
players. Yeah, well, anyway, we know that, as we pointed out, Xander is the de facto captain
of the team. Best shortstop in baseball.
Best shortstop in baseball right now, and that's not hyperbole. That is a fact. You know what also is a fact, as I proclaimed earlier, best baseball show in town.
I fully
agree.
Maybe
in the country. I don't know.
I fully agree.
Terrestrial radio. Dylan, good job. But you
Dylan.
Know what? Good news, Steve Peralt.
What's up?
We ain't going anywhere.
Dylan crushed. You crushed it today,
you
Dylan.
Appreciate
right.
that.
Any little Wayne songs will always
right.
be appreciated. By
Shaw's
me.
And Star Market Red Sox Radio Network pregame show, otherwise usually known as the Mutt Happy Hour, coming up next.